You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is it too late in the process, though, to change that?
Nothing's too late, bro. Everything's made up in politics.
The Wire. During Prime Minister Christopher Luxon's visit to the United States, he spoke to several leaders and figures about New Zealand's relationship with the country. Particularly, he spoke about further aligning and the potential for Aotearoa to join AUKUS. In response, former Prime Minister Helen Clark and her political rival Don Brash released statements criticising the move, particularly for its potential impact on Aotearoa's relationship with China. I speak to Associate Professor in Politics and International Relations at the University of Auckland and Director of the China Studies Centre in the New Zealand Asia Institute, Stephen Noakes, about Aotearoa's relationship with each of these countries, their value, and how it can be preserved moving forward. Former Prime Minister Helen Clark and political rival Don Brash, they released some statements recently talking about Christopher Luxon, our current Prime Minister's angle towards China and the United States. In the US, he's been, you know, talking to about New Zealand increasingly disclosing cases of Chinese espionage and also open to participating in AUKUS. Is the relationship with China and the United States, are those things mutually exclusive?
Not necessarily, but if your next question is why not, I can't tell you because I don't know. Now, there's a couple of different schools of thought on this, one of which seems to be reflected in what Clark and Brash both have had to say, which is that there is no middle ground. New Zealand basically has to pick its side. I would say there's a large, possibly larger body of thought out there. This is actually, New Zealand has always charted a so-called independent foreign policy, and due to a range of factors, not the least of which is geography, it can actually walk, if somewhat awkwardly, a line between the two. That said, one move towards one of those sides will be perceived inevitably as a move away from the other. So I don't think it's impossible. And in the Brash and Clark response, they use the word difficult, if not impossible, to avoid choosing up sides. More difficult is certainly accurate, but impossible, that seems a bit much to me.
Historically, how has New Zealand looked at straddling that line?
Well, New Zealand has always had, for many, many decades, a different relationship with China to the other so-called Five Eyes partners. For example, the United States and the UK and Canada all had travel bans to China through the Cold War era up until official recognition in the early 70s. New Zealand's never had that. There's also a fascinating but mostly untold backstory to Māori-Mao relations and connections between indigenous communities here and in Beijing as well. It's a fundamentally different relationship shaped by a range of economic and geostrategic factors that sets New Zealand apart from its allies, other Western democracies that it considers its peers.
Currently, there's some talk of New Zealand perhaps divesting of its trade relations or some of its trade relations with China. How dependent on China is New Zealand looking for trade right now?
Quite. On a scale of 1 to 10, it would be hard to peg it at a specific number. But I'll say this, it's a little bit difficult to imagine just what at the present time could replace the volume that China occupies in New Zealand's overall economic outlook. Who could step up and fill those shoes in the way that China currently does it? I don't know the answer to that. There may be people in government, in fact, I'm sure there are, working on that right now, who may have a more cogent answer than I can give you. But from the outside, at least, it certainly looks like China is New Zealand's best option until some other candidate steps forward in a big, big way. That's as much as I can say about that one.
You mentioned earlier, obviously, the difficulty of straddling that line between the two groups. People have been discussing, especially Christopher Luxon, the benefits of allying further with the United States. What could some of the risks look like there?
Well, the risk is that other major geostrategic players and others that New Zealand relies on in various ways for various things don't see independent foreign policy by New Zealand in quite the same terms as New Zealand sees it itself. What I really mean is that there may be those on the Chinese side who perceive that move, that step closer to the U.S. as an abandonment somehow, or as New Zealand taking sides when it doesn't necessarily mean to, or at least doesn't mean to be taking provocative action in quite that way. As regards the joining of AUKUS, I am sure that there are those on the Chinese side that would see, that would interpret such a move in that way.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add on?
Nothing too specific beyond the general comment that, it's been a long, there are others in the country who have spent much more time than I have studying New Zealand foreign policy and its ability to stand alone, to stand apart, and not necessarily have to choose sides. I think that there's a place for that in today's world. The world needs go-betweens, and middle marginal powers like New Zealand can do things and can say things and speak in specific ways that other countries cannot, even slightly larger places. Like Canada or Australia, and there ought to be, and I believe there is, a place for that in world affairs.
That was Associate Professor in Politics and International Relations from the University of Auckland, Stephen Noakes, speaking to me about New Zealand's relationship with the United States and China. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Wire on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.